that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin, where we break down Stone Cold Steve Austin's career every week here. And this week we got something special for you. It's a special edition episode. It's our second special edition episode. And this week we'll be covering the top moments of Steve Austin's 1996. Yeah, I'll give a top five. JV will give a top five. With that said, JV, how you doing?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
Doing well. Just getting ready to go back and kind of put in order the top matches or top moments that Austin had in 96. Yeah, it was his early stage, so we did have some ups and downs and trying to get familiar with his character and his development. But there are some standout things that happened, so that's what we're going to break down today. It is the top five. And we'll also throw in each of our shittiest moment of the year of 1996 for Austin. So, we're just going to get right into it. This is a special edition, so no bullshit here. Let's just get right into it. Let's not waste any more time. Number five. Okay, I'll start my number five. My number five moment or match from 1996, it comes from an episode of Raw. Okay, Raw 185 from November 18th, 1996. In a match against Mankind. And in that match, it was a brawl. Okay, this was the day after Survivor Series. Austin had just had a match with Bret Hart. And now, a technical match with Bret Hart. And now he's going on to this brawl-style match. Maybe you have any...
No, I liked that match. I remember covering that. That was, you know, it was very brutal. It was kind of like an early test of what's to come with the Attitude Era as far as, you know, the brutality of the match.
Exactly.
So a lot of outside the ring, you know, more of a hardcore feel to it. So
yeah, I definitely thought it was one of his better matches of the year, especially for the matches that he had on Raw. So it really stood out. And looking back at all the different matches he had in 1996, this was one of the ones that I really enjoyed. And thought it belonged there in the top five. So that's my number five, is Mankind match from Monday Night Raw. Raw 185, November 18th, 1996. Okay, we talked about it on episode 6, okay, the Royal Rumble episode. Okay, it's recent. We just did it. So if you want to hear more about our breakdown of that match, check out episode 6, the Rumble episode. Davey, what do you got for number five?
For number five, I got In Your House, Buried Alive, and that was on October 20th, 1996, and we covered this on episode 4, and, you know, specifically, the debut of Stone Cold's music. So, I kind of had to mark that one in there. As memorable, as iconic as Stone Cold is, his theme is just as iconic and, you know, kind of helped make him who he was. Like, who knows how Stone Cold would have ended up if he had, like, a different theme? Like, what if
just kept using the Ringmaster music?
Yeah, like, you know, maybe he would have done well still regardless, but, like, come on. That might be the greatest theme of all time. It's definitely in the top 10, because I know, you know, musical preference is
top 10
all over the place.
Wow.
For me, it's my top 3.
Yeah, top 3. I can't think of...
It could be number one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could be number one. I'm just
haven't
put that much thought into it. Maybe a future episode.
Yeah,
but no. So
top music themes.
Yeah, it felt like it had to make the list.
Yeah,
just
that's a good one.
On that merit alone.
So I don't have that on my list, but definitely deserving is the music. Yeah, it's a big part of his character, and You know, we play it every week now for our show.
Play it to start and play it to end, because you know, put you in a good mood. Put you in a confident mood.
Yeah, you feel like you got swagger and you're badass.
Yeah, you feel like you're Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like you're going to tell your boss to fuck himself. You know, fuck you.
All right, the number four, my next one is number four, is the Savio Vega match. Savio Vega match from In Your House. In Your House, Beware of Dog 2, Part 2. And that was the second match that they had after the power went out. And I thought that was an excellent match. It was a gritty match. He had a long-standing feud going on for a few months with Savio Vega in the early months of 1996. So this is taking place in May of 96 at the Beware of Dog 2. And I just thought it was an excellent match. It had good drama in the match. And it was when Austin finally shook off Ted DiBiase and became on his own at that point. Because the character of Stone Cold is being a loner, essentially. And he's now, at that point, he was straddled with a mouthpiece, Ted DiBiase. So, as he was developing and becoming Stone Cold at that point, because he now was Stone Cold, he needed to break away from Ted DiBiase. So, it was perfect that Ted DiBiase had decided not to re-sign with WWF and sign with WCW, because that gave Austin the opportunity to be on his own.
Yeah, blessing in disguise.
Yeah, so that makes it memorable, and it's also a great match, too. I think it's a really good match, the Caribbean Strap match from In Your House, Beware of Dog Part 2. We also covered that on our second episode, Episode 2, The Vega Saga. Still the coolest name of an episode yet, The Vega Saga.
No, I like those matches, you know, that little feud he had with Savio Vega. Savio Vega did not make my list at all. But I, you know, I really did like that feud that he had going on. The strap matches were awesome. You know, at the time, I don't think we really saw many strap matches on Raw. It might have been the first one on Raw. I think we might address that in the episode. But
it wasn't many, other than I think Justin Hawk Bradshaw was doing a bunch of strap matches for a while.
I remember him doing that. Yeah.
Right around that time, or right before that time.
Yep, that's right. But good pick. Thank you. That was a great match. That's the one where Vince McMahon kind of praised it, right?
It was when the lights went out, he was watching it. He was just sitting back and watching the match, not even concerned with the power outage that they had to deal with. He was just seeing Austin Vega put on this great match for just the audience that was there in the dark.
Yep.
And it said that this is one of the moments where McMahon realized Austin is a star and going to support him. We're going to go back him up big time. So, classic there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so for my number four.
What do you got?
My number four, I have Survivor Series 1996. And I actually think this was Austin's best match throughout the year of 1996, and definitely up to that point his best match in WWE. November 17th, 1996, versus Bret the Hitman Hart. And we covered that in episode 5, if I'm not mistaken. Just a technically sound match. A lot of back and forth. Both wrestlers really showing why they were alpha males, on that roster, and we're destined for big things. And as we see now, in what we're currently covering, this turns out, into bigger and better things. Believe it or not, as great of a match as this was between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart. So, what did you think?
It's definitely on my list.
Okay.
So obviously I have it higher than you, but I want to see now what's above that match, because I love that match, and it is, like you said, a jumping point for the feud.
Yep.
Now Austin had set up that feud, and they had that going on while Bret Hart was still not officially back. He was still on his little hiatus.
Yep.
In September and October, when Austin started calling Hart out for a 2-month build up to him. To this potential match, and they finally had it, and it ended up being this great match, and we covered it in detail in episode 5, which was entitled DTA. And yeah, I love that match. It's a classic, and like you said, it's just a forerunner for what's to come. As we go through the next few weeks on our show, we're going to get into how this feud continued on and built up throughout Royal Rumble and to WrestleMania. And then even the months after, throughout the spring and into the summer, that feud with Austin and the Hart, and Bret Hart, and then now the Hart Foundation eventually comes in, and that continues on. So, yeah, this is just the beginning, and it's a great match from 1996. It's definitely his best match from 1996.
Nice. I'm glad you agree.
All right, so I'll go to my number three, and I don't have to talk much about it because my number three is that match. It is Bret Hart versus Steve Austin from Survivor Series. So we don't need to talk about it anymore. That's my number three.
Well, I have another point to make there. Just okay. Just remember, if you listen back at the episode, I think we identified this as actually the last time that Stone Cold Steve Austin uses the Million Dollar Dream. Up to yes. You know, up to where we're at now. Like, we haven't seen him use it since this Survivor Series 96 match with Bret Hart, because it eventually actually cost him the match, because if you recall, he wouldn't let go of the Million Dollar Dream, and then Bret Hart kind of rolled him up for the victory, right?
Right, he bounced off the turnbuckle and then rolled him up and got the pinfall.
Yep.
And Austin hadn't used the Million Dollar Dream since Ted DiBiase was his manager. And then he decided to use it in this situation during the Survivor Series match, maybe just out of desperation because Bret Hart kicked out of the Stone Cold Stunner.
Right.
Remember?
Yep.
And he just went to that move for, you know, one last hope. And Bret Hart was close enough to the turnbuckle, bounced off, and rolled him up. And he got the 1-2-3 on him. So, yeah, that is an interesting point that, you know, he uses that for the last time. And he hasn't used it since. At least to the point where we are right now in our coverage of Stone Cold's career, which is right about around the time of WrestleMania 13. You know, so we'll be watching that match. We'll be talking about that on next week's regular episode. So, now, I don't recall that he uses it, but we'll see, because we'll take a look at it this week.
When we revisit it, we'll find out.
Yep.
But,
all right, so that was my number three.
So,
you have something else with that?
No, just you know, my number three. Was January 1996, the debut of the Ringmaster, Raw 142, and the exact date was actually January 9th, 1996, and we covered that in episode one. Yeah. So the debut of Ringmaster, a.k.a. Steve Austin, is a big moment, and I think, my opinion, it had to be top three, because that's, you know, his entrance into the WWF ring, and, you know, the organization as a whole. So,
yeah, understandable. I agree. That is a moment. I remember the moment. So it is. It belongs up there if it's memorable. And I unfortunately don't have it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about it in a little while.
Yep.
But him going out there, debuting, definitely sets us up for everything that becomes Stone Cold Steve Austin, obviously.
Yep.
So that is important. Happens there in January of 96 in our episode one, from Stunning to the Ringmaster,
which is crazy still just to see who he was as the Ringmaster when he showed up. I mean, emerald green tights, he had a mouthpiece, Million Dollar Man, and Brother Love was, you know, part of the introduction as well. So just crazy. Crazy. Yeah. He even looked different then. It's just he had the mustache. Yeah, he had the mustache only, right? He didn't really have
He had no facial hair.
At all?
But he had a, like, a buzz cut.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep. It wasn't bicked. It wasn't a clean bick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that it make your list.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll talk about it. So that's a little hint of what I thought about it.
Nice.
I mean, I think it's memorable, but
mm-hmm.
I'll talk about it a little bit. So we're at my...
We're at number two, man.
My number two. All right, so my number two is the Pillman Invasion. The Pillman Home Invasion. And Pillman's got a gun. And we cover that in our episode five also. With the same as the Survivor Series match with Bret Hart. It was earlier in that episode, the DTA episode, where we covered Austin breaking into Pillman's house. Now that is memorable, I think, as it gets from 1996.
Absolutely.
And it's just classic, and it's controversial, even for the time. I mean, when you look at it through today's lens, it's even more controversial. because you know how it would, you know, affect people's views today and what kind of uproar it would bring today.
Yeah, I mean, arguably,
even at the time as a 13-year-old, and probably because I'm 13, I'm thinking, oh my God, a gun in wrestling? Like, this is serious. This is a big deal. Yeah, because that hadn't happened before. As crazy as some wrestling angles had been, there weren't guns involved. And to a 13-year-old, it's like, whoa, wow, a gun. So it stood in my mind, it's memorable, and it's been controversial, and it's basically was never talked about again after that for a long time, like at least, you know, in kayfabe and WWF. They kind of avoided it.
Yeah, it's kind of been blacklisted.
Yeah.
From WWE.
But, you know, obviously it's still on the network, but
yeah,
you know, they don't reference it ever like they do with other things. You know? Mm-hmm. So definitely memorable moment. Also, some funny moments come when you have Austin kicking the shit out of Pillman's friends guarding the house, throw him in the pool, and busting the guy's head on the car door. And then finally getting it to the house, and Pillman just, you know, screaming. One thing I failed to mention in the in our episode that we covered it, you know, Pillman's wife had the goods showing too that night.
Yeah, she did.
You picked up on that. They were just hanging above his head. Yeah. I like that.
She was definitely she took care of herself.
Yeah. So that's my number two.
And actually, that's also my number two. So Austin invades Pillman's home. Like you said, Raw 183, November 4th, 1996. Covered in episode 5. Arguably the most controversial segment in WWE history.
Yeah, up there.
Just crazy. Anytime you bring a gun into something that's more, at the time, was even now, it's more family-oriented show. It's aimed at families.
It was definitely family-oriented at that time.
You know, it's like when like Seventh Heaven brings a gun in. You know, it's kind of similar. You're just not used to seeing guns in
The difference, though, with Seventh Heaven is they would be telling some moral tale.
Yeah. That's true.
But WWF is not telling any story other than Brian Pillman's nuts and he has a gun and he's going to shoot Steve Austin.
So when you know, yeah, exactly.
Fucking Seventh Heaven. How do we bring that up?
I don't know why I went there. I don't know. It's the first thing that... I don't know if I saw an episode years ago and there was a gun in it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
One of those huge drama episodes.
Yeah, that's like a thing. Oh, like, what's very drama? I'm like, oh, Seventh Heaven. Shit was full of drama. People were always sad and they were dad talks and shit. I don't know how that relates to WWE, but I put it in there.
All right, so obviously... It's looking like we got the same number one, so
we'll
just get to that now.
I'll kick it off with number one.
All right,
and
go ahead.
I got Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Just confirm.
Yeah, I got Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mark Merrill.
The fuck out of here.
Nah, number
one from International Incident or from Raw? Which one?
The one with Sable.
Yeah.
But number one, obviously, King of the Ring 1996, the coronation, not the whole episode, just the coronation part, and that's June 23rd, 1996, and we covered that in episode 2, and just simply, I can sum it up in two words.
Episode 3,
I'm sorry. I can sum up the King of the Ring 96 coronation in two words. It begins.
Yeah, hell yeah. You get some classic quotes from Austin in that. Obviously, that's my number one, too. So, there we are, number one. It's the Austin 316 comes alive there with the quote, Jake Roberts. It's a classic moment. Obviously, it's one of the most memorable, and it's often played over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know? And they even like to change not the word for it, but the legend of... That night is that kicked off Austin 316 and all the fans went crazy. And I've said it numerous times on previous episodes that wasn't the case.
Nope.
And that it took a little while for things to pick up for Austin. But that's
about
where
five
it started.
Months. Yeah.
Yeah, about 5 months, 5 to 6 months. Wouldn't be really until January of the following year, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
that he started to pick up a lot of fanfare.
Yeah, I would say like Survivor Series 96 was like the point where if you didn't notice him before then, you knew him then, like for sure.
Right. Yep.
Definitely. I think everyone was pretty much on board at that point when he had that match with Bret Hart. I mean, just, you know, back to the way he got hyped up and all that too, so.
Yep. All right, so that probably doesn't come to a surprise of any of you that would be the number one moment is the coronation, the King of the Ring. Now, the King of the Ring matches, not really that good. Mark Merrill match, that was pretty good. But then to win it with a match with Jake Roberts, you know, the match kind of blew.
he needed his liquid courage for that one.
Yeah. But he gave us that coronation speech kind of off the cuff.
Yep.
And, you know, created history that night.
So in turn, Michael Hayes will forever be known too, since he gave the
it's always associated.
Yep.
With that speech as Doc Hendricks.
Doc Hendricks, yeah. Michael Hayes. Jeez, where's my head at? I remember him as Michael P.S. Hayes though back in WCW Nintendo video game. That's the first I'd heard of him. Him and Eddie Gilbert. I think his name was like Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
Hot Stuff, yeah.
Those two guys had like the two best movesets. Them two and Mike Rotunda. Not to get off topic.
Mike Rotunda had a good moveset?
Yeah, he was the only one in the game that did a flying knee.
Flying knee.
You couldn't block it. So basically you'd start the match, and that's how I'd beat the game. You just run against the rope and you just keep bouncing off the rope and throwing your high knee. And eventually you hit it and they can't block it. And you just, you know, took you a while to win some of the later matches, but that recipe always worked.
I always hated playing video games with my friends that would just do the same moves over and over again. Like, fuck, stop doing that. Do something different.
No.
Kicking my ass because you're doing the same thing over and over again.
Trying to win. Yeah. You ain't the computer, bro.
Yeah. All right, so that's our top five. But before we go, we do have to bring up one stinker or one shitty moment for Austin in 1996.
What do you got?
I'll go first. All right. It was on your list. I mean, not exactly the same, but it's related to your debut of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the shitty moment, or it's not even really a moment, but something to do with Austin from 1996 is that he enters the WWF as the Ringmaster. And luckily for Austin, he is as great as he is, so he was able to shake off that shitty gimmick. But to be saddled with that from the start, that sucked. Okay, because there was anticipation for Steve Austin coming into the WWF. And then when he finally makes his debut, it's, he's the Ringmaster? I mean, I was still excited to have him there, but it's like, that doesn't sound right, Ringmaster. So luckily, you know, like I said, he shook that off, and his talent shined through, personality came through, and he was able to break away from that and become Stone Cold. So that's just the shittiest moment, is when he comes out as the Ringmaster. But like you had said in your top five, it is a memorable moment, of course, but it's just the name.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
The name is
justice.
A blemish.
Yeah.
The name is a blemish on his record. He was the Ringmaster. My personal opinion. So that's my stinker. What's yours?
I'm not gonna take it personally, so I won't. But I would say mine is gonna be Austin versus Jake Roberts, Raw 178.
Oh.
September 30th, 1996. So it was just a bad match.
Oh yeah, that was
like, you came out looking like junk, you know, like he just wasn't in shape. Yep. I don't know. I think at that point they were trying to, like, you know, kind of go back to that well, just kind of like a prior feud that Stone Cold had, like give Jake the Snake a chance to redeem himself, a rematch.
Yep.
But it just kind of sucked. And I think Lawler, kind of like, the highlight of that match is Lawler, I think, like, tempting Jake the Snake with the bottle of Jim Beam, is it? Remember? He's constantly showing the Jim Beam or whatever. Yeah.
Like the little tiny-ass bottle of Jim Beam, too.
Yeah, like little, like the next size up from a nip.
Yeah, and Jake Roberts probably like, that won't do shit to me.
Where's the handle?
Yeah, give me the damn handle. You're playing around with that shit.
Yeah. But, I guess that's my low. I was going to pick the first Jake the Snake match.
Yeah, the King of the Ring one.
Yeah, I almost went there. Yeah. I should have.
Either one. Yeah. Either one sucks. So if you want to see a shitty match, go back. Or you want to hear about a shitty match in more detail, go to episode 4, Stone Cold, and we talk about that.
Is it episode 4? Yeah.
Raw 178, September 30th. Yeah, so that's our top 5. Those are our stinkers, for lack of a better term, I guess. I guess there's no better word for it. This is our special edition episode. Thank you guys for listening to our first set of episodes and traveling through this journey of Austin's career in 1996. We have just jump-started 1997. We've done Royal Rumble, In Your House, and this coming week, it'll be WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in probably one of the greatest matches in all of wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to break that down. And we're also going to do another special edition next week, a watch-along of that very match. So stay tuned for that. Check us out on Wednesday for WrestleMania 13, and then followed up by our watch-along on Friday. And thanks, guys. JV, anything to say? Sign off?
I have no final words.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. See you soon.